In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Word for Life from Brookside Baptist Church. I am your host, Jake Schnorr, and filling in for Pastor Greg. And if you tuned in last time, you will know what our topic is, and that is the study of the gift of tongues. We're going to begin to answer the question of, are tongues for us today? When I asked someone this question the other day, do they believe tongues are for today? And if they do they believe they can speak in tongues? And they answered me, well, I do speak with my tongue every single day, and I presume that you do as well. And that is not what we are going to be covering today. Rather, we are discussing the miraculous gift of God giving the ability of people to speak a language that they have never spoken before, never studied, and it is conveying truth. It is conveying God's word. Before we jump into our study, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just ask that you do open our hearts and our eyes for this study today. Father, I pray for those who are listening who may be struggling with this issue, who may be on the fence. They're not exactly sure if the gift of tongues is for today, but they truly want to know. Father, I pray for those people. I pray that you give them insight through your word and that they don't rely on experience, they don't rely on personal opinion, and they don't rely on man's opinion around them, but they rely solely on the truth of Scripture and what it says clearly and plainly. I just pray that you give me clarity of thought, give me clarity of speech, and I pray that Christ is honored and glorified today. Amen. Well, if you tuned in last time, you will know that we did cover all the historical accounts in the Bible of speaking in tongues. And a quick summary, you can tune in to the previous broadcast and listen in and jot down the notes and write down the big takeaways we had from the individual cases. But there are three main instances in the book of Acts, because that is the history book of the church in the New Testament. There's three instances where we see tongues. But now I'm going to transition from the historical events to the New Testament teachings on tongues. Just an overview again. First of all, the New Testament is surprisingly silent on the issue of tongues, but we do find significant amounts of information in the book of 1 Corinthians. You can get your Bibles open to the book of 1 Corinthians, and you can go to chapter 13, because we'll be spending a significant amount of time there later. But a brief overview of chapters 12, 13, and 14 would be excellent, because that is the grand summary of all the New Testament teaching on speaking in tongues. That's right, only in chapters 12, 13, and 14 do we see teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians. Additionally, we only see teaching on speaking in tongues in those three chapters in all of the New Testament, and for all the Bible, for that matter. Every other epistle and every other New Testament book, aside from Acts and 1 Corinthians, does not give us any insight or teaching on the gift of tongues. But if you want to jot down some brief notes from chapters 12, 13, and 14, you can write down one word next to each chapter heading. Next to chapter 12, you can write hesitation. In other words, Paul wanted the Corinthian church to be hesitant about the gift of tongues. Why would Paul want them to be hesitant about this, you might ask? Well, the reason is twofold. The first reason why Paul wanted them to hesitate on using it is because it's not for everyone. In other words, everyone in the Corinthian church wanted to be able to speak in tongues. There were some people who said they were, but in reality, they weren't. And Paul emphasizes this in verses 4 to 11, but specifically in verse 10, where he goes through all of the gifts that were given to specific people in the church. And this is important to realize, because the gift of tongues, if it was for everyone, then Paul wouldn't say that it was a specific gift to specific people. Rather, he would say this is a gift that is to be used by everyone. I want to read verse 10 of chapter 12. It says, "To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues." Notice that the word "another" is not referring to the universal church. It's not referring to another local church. When it says to another different kinds of tongues, it's not saying one church will, everyone will be able to speak in tongues, but to another church, they won't. Another church, they'll be able to discern spirits, but another church may not be able to. That's not the understanding of this passage. Rather, when it says to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, that's talking about individual believers. In the same sense of the body, your eye is not to do what your foot does, and your hand is not to do what your ear does, so on and so forth. So the gift was not for everyone. But second of all, Paul wanted them to hesitate because it was not the most important gift. I want you to consider verses 27 to 31, where Paul is listing off the gifts, and the order they list the gifts is significant. He begins by referencing the apostles, and then he mentions the prophets, and then he mentions teachers. In other words, that the most important thing that God gave the church was the apostles. He gave them the apostles to have all the doctrine flow from them, to establish the church. Jesus told Peter, the lead disciple and then the lead apostle, that he is going to give the confession that Peter made the keys to the kingdom. He's going to allow him to bind things on earth and bind them in heaven, and loose things on earth and loose them in heaven. He's going to use the apostles' teaching to be the pillar and foundation, the buttress of truth. It goes on, it lists the next things that are given to the church in descending value order. In other words, after apostles, prophets, and then teachers, and then miracles, and then gifts of healing, and then helps. And notice that the very last gift that is mentioned that's given to the church is the gift of tongues. Paul is answering two questions. First of all, he answers, is the gift of tongues a gift for the church? The answer is yes. But is it the most important? The answer is no. And for many of you listening, that's not a question that you're struggling with. But for those of you who are listening, or for those of you who know of churches who will make the claim that you need to speak in tongues to be saved, that is, in essence, doing exactly what the Corinthian church was told not to do. They were elevating the gift of tongues to be the single most important thing in their lives. And Paul is clarifying, be hesitant about speaking in tongues, because it's not the most important gift. Chapter 13, if you want to write one word next to chapter 13, it would be clarification. Chapter 12 was hesitation. 13 is clarification. And he wants to clarify one thing in particular, and that is that tongues, while they are a gift, it needs to be clarified that it's temporary. They will not last forever. And without getting into it too much, verse 8 is where we get this, where it says, "Whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. And whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away." So the main thought in chapter 13 on tongues is that they're temporary. Moving on to chapter 14, if you want to write one word next to there, it'd be instruction. Instruction. Now, this chapter, for many people who believe that tongues are not for today, have a difficult time interpreting and understanding why it is included in the canon, or why is it included in the Bible if it's not for today, because almost the entire chapter is on a step-by-step instruction of how to speak in tongues. So we're not going to get into each step of the process, but I do want you to understand that the New Testament does teach how a church ought to be using tongues. And before we carry on to the next point, I want to pause for a second. And if you are one who believes that tongues is for today, I strongly encourage you to read through this chapter and go to your church that believes in speaking in tongues and see, are they following each step exactly? Because if they're not, then they're not obeying the New Testament commands for it. And the reality is, when you weed out all of the examples in the contemporary church that says tongues are for today, and you line them up with the standard of 1 Corinthians 14, they fall short. In other words, if churches believe that they are for today, they don't do it correctly. Moving on to our next point, we're going to transition into the theology of tongues. In other words, if we go into these passages and then we draw out of the principles we get from the historical accounts in Acts, what is a theology of what we should believe about tongues? But before we get into what the Bible clearly states about tongues, I want to address some serious misunderstandings about tongues. So, what tongues were not in the Bible? First of all, tongues in the Bible were not unidentifiable languages. I addressed this in the previous broadcast, but what I mean by this is tongues were not what some people call, and this is the first subpoint of unidentifiable languages, secret prayer language. Some people claim that when they speak in tongues, it's unidentifiable because it's a secret prayer language. They get this idea from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, which has the phrase, praying in the Spirit. This phrase is also found in Ephesians 6, 18 and Jude, verse 20. Praying in the Spirit, so they claim, is them praying to God through their own spirit in a way that is not understandable to man. And they get this idea from Romans 8, where it says that the Spirit of God intercedes for the believers with groans that are too deep for understanding. In other words, it's not a language that humans can understand. It's too deep. It's almost too high and spiritual. And their explanation for how Christians speak in tongues is they are tapping into that Holy Spirit hotline, if you will. But the sad reality is just, this is not what that phrase means. Any other portion of Scripture that talks about the ministry of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being indwelt by the Spirit, having the Spirit dwell in your hearts richly, what is that always linked with? It is always inseparably linked with the Scriptures or the Word of God. Having the Word of God dwelling in your heart is how the Spirit of God dwells in your heart. So we're going to put a pin in our conversation for now, but thank you for listening and thank you for following along with this broadcast. I would strongly encourage you to tune in next time as we continue our study in the New Testament theology of tongues, what they were and what they were not, and help answer the question of, are they for today? Well, a warm thank you from Brookside Baptist Church. Come visit us sometime for Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings. We have Bible studies every Wednesday night and Bible studies also on Wednesday morning and Thursday morning and Saturday morning, respective times and locations. Lord bless. Talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.